It's time for Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
Welcome, Dr. Todd Arell, with us from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital here this morning. And, of course, if you would like to call in, 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Ben.
Hope you had a Merry Christmas.
I did. Hope you did, too.
Yeah, we did. We did. Had a good one. Now, what are we talking about today?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about bladder problems with cats, because mm-hmm. this is actually a very common symptom or set of symptoms that we see in the clinic. And we generally, what I'm going to talk about are what are called lower urinary tract symptoms. Mm-hmm. So this is the urinary bladder and everything below that. And the symptoms that we usually will see, and these things apply to dogs as well, but cats are very special in some of the issues they have. But these are things like squatting frequently and not much coming out, dribbling. Sometimes people will describe that they can actually see a blood or red color in the urine.
Right.
And with cats, a lot of times with these symptoms, they might be vocalizing, crying, yowling, that sort of thing. And these are the things that people bring to our attention. These are the things that alarm people and they say, oh gosh, there's something wrong there. Mm-hmm. And so with the first thing most people think about when they think about these symptoms is the UTI, the urinary tract infection. Because a lot of people are familiar with that in people, of course, and in dogs as well. A lot of other species have these issues. The thing that's very important for cat owners and people that are coming in with cats that have these symptoms is that most cats do not have UTIs.
Oh, really?
Huh. Right. Now, there are some exceptions to that rule. Very young cats, say less than 6 months of age, and older cats, say over 10, that may also have some other problems, diabetes or whatever. They can get urinary tract infections for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But with most of the problem cats that we see coming in are actually young adults that are having these symptoms. And when we talk about an infection, we're talking about the presence of bacteria.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that you would treat it then with an antibiotic.
And I would think fairly easily tested for that.
Well, it is easily tested for, but it's not that cheap to test for. In other words, if you do a urine culture where we send it out to a lab, you got to wait a few days and so forth, that's a little expensive, more than just doing sort of an in-house test. And the in-house tests are helpful. They're just not conclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You may see some bacteria on there. That doesn't mean there's an infection that the bacteria is actually causing the problem.
So is this really about what else is happening?
Exactly. That's exactly what it's about. And so what we look at are this condition called interstitial cystitis. That's just a fancy term. And basically what it means is that some cats have bladders that are extremely sensitive to stress. They're extremely sensitive to pain sensations. And so the things that cause them to have these symptoms are actually things like environmental stress. In fact, some of the key, you might call them risk factors, would be cats that don't have an opportunity to hunt, indoor cats usually. Cats that are having to struggle for resources, meaning maybe there's some other cat in the house that's bullying them. Maybe the food or water bowl is next to the dryer and that noise,
know,
that kind of thing. Also,
that's a pretty common spot for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So other risk factors are cats that eat more than 50% dry food. And that's a really big deal because a lot of people feed dry food. And we as a veterinary community have preached this for years, decades, really. And
now, see, that's actually because I had a cat, and this is going back into the early 80s, late 70s. I had a cat that had died of a urinary tract issue.
Right.
And my veterinarian said it was because of dry food, because of ash content.
Right. And ash content is present in wet food as well. I mean, that's the older term. But, yeah, those minerals are present. That the key, though, is the amount of water consumption. And so when you feed wet food, you're actually sort of tricking the cat, you might say, into drinking more water.
Right.
A lot of cats don't drink a lot of water on a daily basis, even if they're, eating dry food. You would think that they would because, you kind of wash it down or whatever the case may be. But wet food is actually very helpful for preventing these problems in cats. It's a more expensive way to feed. It's not as easy, you got leftovers and you got to put it in the fridge, you cover it up, all all
However,
that stuff.
However, they do learn the can opener very quickly.
Oh, they definitely do. And a lot of them now, you don't even need a can opener.
That's right.
You
know,
pop those tops.
Yeah, they learn that sound too.
Exactly. And also multiple cat households, you'll find these problems that are more common. So what's happening with these cats is that their bladder is getting flooded with stress hormone, pain sensations, and they get this bloody urine. The protective layer inside the bladder wall is not normal anymore. And so these cats really benefit more from, and this is one of those things that is not a very well-received answer that the doctor gives you, is they really do well if they can have hunting behaviors, basically modifying their environment so that they can have the opportunity to hunt, you know, even if it's indoors. And I'm going to give you some tip here in a second. So hunting, making sure you've assessed the resource situation. So is the litter box in a good place? The food bowl in a good place? Are these two cats getting along? Are they not getting along? That sort of thing. One of the things you can do is Ohio State University runs a website called the Indoor Pet Initiative. You just type in Indoor Pet Initiative. You'll find it. It'll be right up there at the top. They have a lot of really good tips on how to enrich the environment, not just for cats, but for dogs as well. To enrich their environment.
You probably think of it as entertaining the cat, but it's really about creating a behavior.
It's really helping to channel some of those instinctive behaviors that they need to have an outlet for. If they don't, they get the flood of stress hormones. And, you know, a lot of times when I say this, people say, well, the cat doesn't look stressed. What's the cat got to be stressed about? He just lays around all day. But the cat, who is the important one here, is stressed in some situations. And so trying to rectify that instead of sort of throwing antibiotics at something that quote unquote looks like a UTI or sounds like a UTI, actually trying to get to the bottom of it and correct the underlying cause is the most important way to address that. And pain medication is a very important part of that too, because these cats are in a lot of pain. That's why they're vocalizing when they pee. You can imagine. So it's just kind of a little bit of a sea change.
So like a ball with the jingles or something to chase the laser.
The balls. You know, and you have to know your cat and what, because some cats have preferences for the things that they want to hunt. Some don't like feathered objects. Some like things that look like mice and things like that. So yeah, actually having, and it may mean you and actually engaging with the cat, you know, so that not all of these things can be done, sort of solo by the cat. So yeah, but that Indoor Pet Initiative, website is an excellent place to find, ideas on how to stimulate your cat's, you know, instinctive behaviors, enrich their environment.
Good stuff. Again, from Dr. Todd Arell from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital, brings you Your Pet's Health every Thursday morning. If you'd like to call in, you can reach us at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674. We'll have more to come in a moment. And welcome back to Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. Dr. Todd Arell here as well. And coming up on New Year's.
Yes, I wanted to just briefly mention New Year's Eve sort of preparations. And I know this sounds like a broken record with all the different holidays, because a lot of these things we mentioned over and over again. But with New Year's and New Year's Eve, obviously there are going to likely be fireworks.
Yeah, it's more like July 4th when we talk about it.
More like July 4th. A lot of these are probably going to be neighborhood, not put on big displays. So just being at your house away from what you think are the festivities may not actually work. So be aware of that. Take precautions if you know your dog is fearful of loud noises, thunder, fireworks, that sort of thing. Or your cat, absolutely. Yeah. Take precautions. If you're having a party, a barbecue, that sort of thing, obviously, here again, the broken record, be careful of the cooking scraps, table scraps, things that people may be leaving, plates and stuff around for your pets, because that can be a definite hazard. Also alcohol. Yeah, let's not forget that. You know, so if you're having a lot of people over, or even if it's just you and the family and there are alcoholic drinks around, just be aware that those can be dangerous. Usually not terribly dangerous or fatal, but, and New Year's Eve is not the time to find out your dog has a taste for Pinot. So you just try to avoid that. And then, of course, guests. If you have a lot of guests over, if you are at a party or hosting a party, people coming in and out the door. You know, we talk a lot about this with Halloween in particular, as well as the holidays, but people going in and out the door know your pet. So if your pet is one that's likely to bolt out the door, or you have a cat that's indoors and just always loves to sneak out, you know, the front door, the back door, be aware of that and take some necessary precautions to prevent them from having access to that, because you don't want to end up, you know, chasing down the dog or the cat on New Year's Eve or New Year's.
I mean, you might be having the party that you're planning, also planning on fireworks. You've got all those things.
You may have all those things in one location. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So,
time to board your
pet. Boarding is not a bad idea. And a lot of times we get calls for things like medication to help, you know, with those things. And that can be appropriate in some situations. But yeah, thinking about that now, you got 2 days left, before can be very helpful. And avoiding not only stress for your pet, because again, it's not just about our conveniences.
Right.
But it's also about the pet's stress level, which is, often high in these times. You know, anything that's out of the routine. Tends to be stressful for some pets, at least.
I mean, you may have a dog that's always been great around people, but you know, you combine all the different stressors out there.
Well, you get the noise and the, you know, yeah, absolutely. All those things together can make things different than what you're used to, for sure.
Okay. So, and they're not, they don't know the time. They're not recognizing.
Right. They don't recognize what's happening, the ball dropping and all of that. So,
okay.
Just be aware of it.
All right. Well, hope you have a happy new year.
You too. Thank you.
And then we'll have more next week on Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Arell here on Pet Docs, with Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. You can call them and find out more about it, or also go find them on social media. They're all over social media and online at PETDOCKS.com.